Misinformation in the Leave campaign. The Leave campaign misrepresented the truth about the UK's relationship with Europe in two other areas that exploited voters' prejudices about the EU. Perhaps the best known and most egregious of the Leave campaign's claims was about the financial cost of the UK's membership of the EU. Boris Johnson, a prominent Conservative Leave campaigner, famously toured the country in a bright red bus, Boris's Brexit bus, which had the message, "We send the EU £350 million a week. Let's fund our NHS instead," written on its sides. The claim was that because the UK had to send so much money to the EU, the government could not afford to maintain the National Health Service, NHS. If voters chose to leave the EU, all of this money would suddenly become available for the health service. This was a clever argument. The NHS, a nationally funded system of free health care, is hugely popular in Britain. But the service has been under extreme financial pressure in recent years. However, Johnson's argument was disingenuous because the UK did not send £350 million a week to the EU. The actual figure was closer to £250 million, quite a discrepancy that Leave campaigners, most notably Boris Johnson himself, refused to acknowledge. Also, even if this money did return to the UK government's purse, there was no guarantee that it would be spent on the health service. Furthermore, the financial crisis in the NHS was nothing to do with UK funding of the EU. It was the direct result of the austerity policy of the UK government outlined earlier in this essay. The second obfuscation made by the Leave campaign concerned immigration. With the help of the Conservative government, which had become increasingly hostile towards immigration since 2010, the Leave campaign was able to exaggerate both the numbers of immigrants entering the UK and the UK government's inability to control who is allowed to enter the UK. The government's own figures for immigration conflate various different categories of foreign resident. In the bare statistics, foreign workers are not differentiated from overseas students, refugees and asylum seekers, or the children of foreign residents. By putting all these different people into the single category, immigrant, the numbers are inflated, helping to fuel the fears of those who believe immigration policy is too open. Furthermore, by giving figures for gross immigration, the number of foreign nationals entering the country in any year, rather than net immigration, the number arriving minus those who leave in any year, the Leave campaign overstated the number of resident immigrants in the country to make the problem seem worse than it really was. Another immediate issue that aided the anti-immigration argument was the Syrian and Libyan refugee crisis. Wars in Syria and Libya had displaced millions of refugees, many of whom sought safety in Europe. For humanitarian reasons as well as obligations under international agreements, the EU countries could not simply turn all of these refugees away. The Leave campaign ruthlessly exploited images of masses of poor Syrian and Libyan refugees arriving on European shores in order to exacerbate anti-immigration fears in the UK. The Leave campaign did not distinguish between refugees, immigration from non-EU countries, and EU immigration under the EU's freedom of movement of people. They made the simplistic claim that EU membership meant that the UK government had given away the right to control its own borders. This was not the case. Although the UK is signatory to the UN Refugee Convention and therefore has international obligations towards refugees, it is entirely up to the UK government how it chooses to meet these obligations. The EU has no power to force the UK to accept any number of refugees. Indeed, the UK admitted far fewer Syrian and Libyan refugees than many other EU countries, instead funding a refugee camp in Calais, France, to house refugees outside the UK. Non-EU immigration is also not subject to EU regulation. Immigration from non-EU countries is entirely under the control of the UK government. A little over 50% of total net annual immigration to the UK was by people from outside the EU. If the UK government wished to cut the number of foreigners entering the UK, it has always been free to do so. In addition, if EU immigration was truly considered to be an unacceptable burden on the UK, it is within EU regulations for the UK to suspend the freedom of movement rights of EU citizens. In 2004, all the other EU members except Ireland and Sweden had done just that regarding A8 country citizens. So, one of the central and most powerful arguments of the Leave campaign, that as long as the UK remained inside the EU, the UK government would not be able to control its own borders, was manifestly false. Successive UK governments had chosen to allow relatively large numbers of immigrants to enter the UK because they recognised the benefits to the UK economy of immigration, not because the EU forced them to open UK borders. Yet, anti-immigration sentiment had become so hostile in the UK that the Remain campaign was unable to effectively counter the Leave campaign's anti-immigration argument. Immigration was one of the most frequently cited issues in media coverage of the referendum campaign. The referendum was brought about as a result of David Cameron's desire to quiet the noisy Eurosceptic wing of his Conservative Party. The Remain campaign lost, despite the expectations of most people before the vote. Even UKIP's leader, Nigel Farage, appeared on TV the night of the vote, believing that Remain had won. The Remain campaign lost because it ran a lackluster campaign that failed to explain the positive benefits of EU membership, was overly pessimistic about a British future outside the EU, and condescended towards those on the Leave side. The Remain campaign was unable to counter the Leave campaign's economic optimism and misinformed arguments on the costs of EU membership and immigration. Also, the charisma of the Leave campaign leaders, Nigel Farage and Boris Johnson, both of whom are experts in manipulating media coverage of themselves, should not be underestimated. Taken together with the personal unpopularity of David Cameron, the difference in the personalities representing the Remain and Leave campaigns helped many people to make up their minds to vote Leave.